Jazz and AJ, Premier Auto Group News.
To me, the top story is there's a young boy named Anthony, and he has a wish. And Make-A-Wish Connecticut wants to help him with that wish, and we have signed up to help him. And his mom is on the phone right now to tell us the story. Hi, good morning, Sarah.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Morning.
Good, thanks. We pronounce your last name Moyo?
Moyo, you're right. Moyo.
Nice.
tell us Anthony's story.
Well, first, I always like to start with the positive. So we actually had our annual appointment yesterday virtually with Boston Children's Hospital, and his scans were stable, so he's officially 7 years tumor-free.
Nice.
Awesome! Yay!
Magnify that a million times.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's always a big deal. He's moved to annual scans, so of course it's nerve-wracking leading up to those, but it's always like an exciting time afterwards to celebrate.
It feels like a long time, like a lot can happen in a year.
Yeah. I mean, we started off with like every 3 months and then you graduate to 6 months. And so, yeah, a year's a long time.
Yeah.
And I mean, we're pretty confident at this point that, knock on wood, the tumor's not going to come back, because with his type of tumor, you can have regrowth, but that's only if they don't get the full tumor to begin with. But there's always like a what if, a nagging fear in the back of our minds.
Well, there's some lingering issues, too. We'll get to that in a second. But tell me about Anthony's 5 months old. Any parent can connect to the story, because when you're about to have a baby and someone asks you, well, what do you want, a boy or a girl? What's the answer? You always say, as long as they're healthy.
Yep. I want a healthy baby.
Yes.
That's it.
Although I did want a boy.
okay.
But, I wanted a healthy baby.
So you got that. Well, that was good.
Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, I mean, the first few months of Anthony's life, there was no issues, no complications. He was a really happy baby. Like, people couldn't believe how mellow he was. He never gave us a hard time. We could take him anywhere. I used to say, like, he makes parenting easy. He still does, considering what we've been through with his medical stuff. He's just a really easygoing kid. But about 5 days before he was diagnosed.
Was he your first?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That always tricks you into having more.
Right.
And then, you know, the other ones are always crazy.
You know, there's 10 of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But 5 days before he was diagnosed, he started vomiting. And so we weren't really concerned at first. We just assumed it was some sort of stomach bug. We took him to the pediatrician. They did a full exam and they felt that it was probably a virus. So they sent us home. And over the next few days, he progressively got sicker. So we thought it was just this virus running its course. And then I started to notice that his main symptom was vomiting at that point. And I started to notice that he would only vomit if we moved him. So I said to my husband, I feel like it's something with motion, like maybe he's getting motion sickness. I don't know. And so we went back and forth to the pediatrician quite a few times, but of course, if they were to jump the gun with any case of vomiting and assume it's something serious, they'd have a lot of kids in the ER. And over the next few days, we just noticed his personality completely changed. Like, he was always a very happy kid. He, if he wasn't vomiting, was just crying constantly and just staring blank stares out like he was out in La La Land. So, we went back, we did go to the ER twice and they felt the same thing. It's probably a virus. And then finally the day that we were diagnosed, he had just gotten so sick. He was very lethargic. And then his eyes started to cross. And I said to my husband, there's something wrong with Anthony. We need to go to the hospital right now.
Yeah. That's more than a virus.
So we called. Yeah. Yeah. I don't like the word virus anymore. So we called our pediatrician, and we were on call, and I said to my husband, Rob, I just don't feel comfortable waiting. Let's go to the hospital. I'll stay on the phone. And so our actual pediatrician was away at that time. So we were seeing like the on-call doctors, and they said, head over to Yale and we're going to call ahead and let them know. And so we went in, and the nurse finally said to me, like, I finally felt like somebody was listening at the ER. She said, does your son always have like a lazy eye? And I said, no. And so they said, okay, we need to do a CAT scan. So they rushed them into a CAT scan. Rob and I were standing by the bed, and I just looked at the lady who was doing the CAT scan, and I said, this is bad. I know this is bad because we locked eyes, and just I could tell by the way she was looking at me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then they put us, like, into a trauma room, and we were waiting for the test results. It's kind of like a joke now because my husband went off to the bathroom, and, like, 20 doctors come rushing in while he's out of the room. And I'm sitting there like, you have to wait for my husband to come back. And they're like, no, we need to talk right now. So they said, your son has a mass on his brain and he's going to need emergency surgery. But for right now, the pressure has built up so much in his head because his tumor produces excessive amounts of spinal fluid. So we need to do an emergency procedure right here, bedside, and
right
drain in his
here.
Head to relieve. Wow. Yeah. And my husband stayed with them. Like, I don't know how he did it. I had to leave the room. But no anesthesia, nothing, you know, just like topical stuff. But
oh, why?
At that point, Anthony was because they just needed to get it done. Yeah. Right. At that point, I mean, he was pretty much lifeless. Like, so, yeah, I mean, he didn't even flinch. But
you got him there just
yeah, so
in time.
Damn, yeah.
We did. Yeah, they told us within a couple of hours he wouldn't have made it.
Oh, man.
Just because of the pressure in his head.
Wow.
So yeah, they put the drain in.
I would
in,
not have been
on.
Able to be in that room.
Nope.
Yeah, I don't know how my husband did it, but he just didn't want
strong.
Him to be alone.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Strong man.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. And then so then they rushed us up to the pediatric ICU.
How long was that procedure
and,
in the room? Like, was
so,
that 10 minutes?
Drain?
Yeah, 20 minutes?
I have no idea.
Yeah, it's just
like,
a blur.
A lot of that stuff
yeah,
is
the next thing
still.
You know, they're rushing out.
Mm-hmm.
And they. Wow.
Yeah, the next thing, then they put him back in my arms, and I was on the gurney with him, and they rushed us up to the ICU where they placed him on, you know, like a ventilator, respirator, all that. And we
Five months.
Because, yeah.
It's a horrific sight. It's horrific to see anyone on a ventilator.
Yeah, but it's
like
baby.
A 5 month old baby.
All the stuff
this
attached
is,
to him.
This is a
terrible
nightmare.
Yeah, I mean, at that point, to be honest, in my mind, I was like, there's no way a child this small can survive this. Like, I remember I asked one of the like intern doctors, I said, because I had never heard of a child having a brain tumor. And so I said to him, like, can kids survive a brain tumor? And he was like, well, I can't really. You know, discuss that. And I was like, I understand liability, but I just like, I need a little glimpse
just
of
tell me.
Yeah, has any kid anywhere in the world survived a brain tumor? And he wouldn't say at that time. So in my mind, automatically, I was like, there's no way like a kid can have brain surgery and be this tiny and survive it.
Yeah. You want to hear.
But.
Happens all the time.
Yeah, routine.
You want to say.
Oh, we did three today.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you know, like it looks bad, but you're fine. Yeah, don't worry.
We haven't seen before.
The guy's like,
he's playing close to the vest. Yeah.
Well, he probably didn't want to say, "I've never seen it before."
Yeah,
you know,
want to say that.
Or
this is a new one to me.
Yeah, and I know, like with Anthony's tumor, it was a pretty rare tumor, and it all depends on whether or not they could remove the whole tumor. So. When he went into surgery, we were told there's like a 50-50 chance, pretty much. They had to get in there and see what was going on.
50-50.
And, and so his tumor was actually located next to like a main artery. So the procedure itself, they went through his groin. He had a vascular surgeon, Dr. Matuk at Yale, and he went through his groin to his brain to cut off the blood supply to that artery so that then his neurosurgeon, Dr. DeLuna, could go in and remove the actual tumor.
This
it was like
is
a two-part
beyond
surgery.
Comprehension.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah. How long did the entire surgery take?
It was like 9.5 hours.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
So it was like three parts, actually, because first they had to go in and put... they had to put a main line into his chest so that if he had blood loss and stuff like that. So that was the first part. So we kind of like waited for the doctors. So the first part, they came out and said, okay, the main line's in. We're moving on to the next part. The second part was the longest part because obviously going through the groin to the brain, but also the veins are so small at that age, like he just had to go really slow and take his time. And so then he came out and said, we cut off the blood supply by 75%, but I feel like it's good enough to go in and remove the tumor. And then next, his neurosurgeon came out and was like, we got it all.
Good job.
And we couldn't tell at first. Like, he's walking towards us, and he was just exhausted because he stayed in the room through the whole surgery.
9.5 hours,
and I was like, can you read his face, Rob? You know, are you reading his face?
Yeah, what are we about to hear right now?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Unreal. And then how long before you knew after that that the surgery was a success? I mean, I know they come out and say, we got it all. But then it's like, well,
proof of the pudding here.
You know, do you have to wait a day or two to see if everything?
So after surgery, you know, he's on the machine still, and they told us it could be like 48 to 72 hours before he starts like waking up and we start weaning the machines. And actually, I think it was like about 8 hours. I have a tattoo on my arm of Anthony squeezing my finger like about 8 hours after surgery.
Wow.
And at that point, like, all the nurses and doctors, respiratory therapists, they were like, he's a really strong kid.
Awesome.
And you were like, I feel my figure right now. He's breaking it.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. But he was actually off the ventilator, I think, a little while past 24 hours. And, I mean, within 4 or 5 days, he was back to his normal self, like, smiling and everything. He had complications in the hospital. Like, he had a blood clot, he had a small stroke during the surgery, so they were like watching to see once he started waking up how the effects of the surgery were going to be in terms of like the brain. He bounced back so quickly, and they actually told us that because he was so young and because the brain's still developing, he is in a better position to withstand a surgery like this than an adult would be.
Wow. It's unreal. And how's he doing now? He has some, I heard he has seizures, or he can have seizures.
Yeah.
And how long will that last?
Yeah, he has epilepsy. Yeah. That's probably going to be his whole life. Yeah. So where the tumor was located in the center of his brain is basically a hole in his brain now. They watched it to see if it was going to close, but at this point, it's probably not going to.
Wow.
So in that space, it's like an open space in the middle of his head. There's a lot of what they call electrical activity. And that's what causes him to have seizures. He started having seizures about 14 months after surgery, so it wasn't right away. And it took us about 6 months to have that even diagnosed, because they started just with like staring spells. And then we were going back and forth to the ER, and it was kind of the same thing, me saying, something's not right here, and them saying, well, you know, he has an ear infection, maybe it's this. And finally he ended up having a tonic-clonic, which is like the new term for grand mal seizure at daycare. And so he was rushed by ambulance. And I met my husband there with him, and he was in the hospital for like 3 days because he had some paralysis after that. But that was in 2016, and that was his last major seizure. We've had it controlled with medication.
This has been a hell ride, but also a miracle.
Yeah,
all in one.
Yeah.
What a 7-year journey here. Well, we're very honored that you let us hear the story, but also try to raise some money for Anthony's wish, which is a camper that you pull behind the vehicle.
Yep.
See, now, I was talking about this earlier. If I was 7 and someone asked me, what do you want? I wouldn't be like, I want to spend time with my family.
I want to.
Anthony is like a very, I think it's because of where he's been from and the people he's been surrounded by.
Yeah.
He actually at first wanted us to ask them to get toys for the children's hospital.
Wow.
And we were like, look, Aunt, we do a lot of awareness events because they told us that 5 or 10 years before we were there, there would have been no cure for his tumor. So obviously there was awareness built, there was research done, there was people doing the same thing we're doing now to get us to where we could take our son home. So,
so
it's
the more
very important for us to do that for other
people. He's full on board with that. And he said, give my make a wish to the kids.
Yeah.
Holy cow. What a
unselfish.
What a remarkable young man.
Yep.
Yeah. And we kind of like, we're like, no, you need to be selfish right now. This is about you.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is your wish, and you do all that stuff for people other times, but this is something just for you because of all you've been through and all you continue to go through. And I mean, we say in typical Anthony fashion, he wanted something that where he could be with his family and be with the people that he cares about.
And everybody in the family gets something.
Exactly.
So it's beautiful.
Yeah.
So this camper discounted because they know who they're making it for is $14,500. And we have a link on the radio station website. We'd like you to please go there and donate whatever you can. There's no amount too small.
Nope.
Or too big. We're going to try to come up with $14,500. They're just going to walk through Milford as Captain America.
Yes.
It'll be, you know.
I actually washed Anthony's old Captain America suit, so it's all set for you to go.
I'm not wearing his uniform. I'll get arrested. Just so you know, I'm a little taller.
And
not much taller, but
just
a little
try
taller.
It on. That's fine.
Right.
But please go to the website. How much do we have now?
We're up to $3,300 right now.
All right, $3,300. It's a good start.
Yeah, it's
work
a good
to
start.
Do. All right, we got work to do, but it's a good start.
Yep.
Want to thank everyone who donated.
Yes.
And more to come, and then we got tomorrow, and then, of course, Thursday, AJ's walking around. I don't know if that's going to help us or
terrorizing Milford. No, it's a good threat. it's a good threat. Yeah, pay up, or he's going to keep going around here.
Sarah Moya.
Scaring the kids.
From Milford.
Flapped in America.
Exactly.
Thank you for coming on and sharing your story, and we'll talk to you more this week, and please tell Anthony we said hello.
I will.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.